Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a privilege to be in the studio to be able to answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Indeed, questions from around the world that come into the Christian Research Institute and are asked on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can contact the ministry on the web at equip.org. You can write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can talk to Resource Consultants live at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. But all that we do here at the Christian Research Institute, our ministries around the world would not be possible without people standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. It's a battle that rages. It's a spiritual war, and the casualties are many. But the fruit that you can bear is very significant as well. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, your heart follows your treasure. All that to say that it would be wonderful if some of you would decide today to become a CRI support team member, which means that you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute on a regular monthly basis. In appreciation for your support, you'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. And with that, we'll go right to the phone calls. I have a lot of people hanging on. First up is Dan. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Dan.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your radio program. Here's my question. Prior to my salvation, I lived a life of hideous sin and hypocrisy. The consequences for those sins were the loss of my wife, my children, my job, my reputation, and all of my friends have turned their back on me. I feel as though I'm much like the old Judean king Manasseh, who has now returned from captivity. But I wonder, what does the Bible say about reformed sinners who just want to move forward in the right way? What is the encouragement, what is the recommendation that Scripture gives for people like me?
Great question. And at first say to you that there are other examples that you could look at in Scripture. You think about King David, who took a census against the will of God, who had Uriah the Hittite killed on the battlefront so that he could take his wife. David confessed his sin and recognized God was just and right and would forgive him his sin and cleanse him from all unrighteousness. But as you have properly diagnosed, there are always consequences that follow sin. And David was well aware of that as well. So he said, save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Or he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. He also says, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean. So he prays and recognizes that God will use him in spite of his egregious sin. But the consequences are clearly communicated in Scripture. The sword never left his family. And that's why we can say as believers, yes, we can sin and ask God for forgiveness and he forgives, but we can't sin in a cavalier fashion because consequences follow. And you just very beautifully articulated that. So what you do now is you forget that which is behind, and you press on to the extent that you can make reconciliation with broken relationships. You seek to do that. In the meantime, you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came for sinners just like you and just like me.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That's extremely helpful, and that's advice I will try to follow.
Amen. Good talking to you, Dan. May God give you grace as you continue the journey. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Solomon. He's listening in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Solomon.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a question on, you know, being born again. I was having a discussion with one of my friends on this, whether if you can be born again and kind of still continue kind of a sinful life, and, you know, especially in context of presumptuous sins. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think that Christians by definition are going to continue in sins without any repentance, because by virtue of being a Christian, what you're saying is I'm moving in a different direction. Repentance is an old English word which points to a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of the will. It doesn't mean that you don't sin, but when you do, you're not gratuitous about it, you're not cavalier about it, but you're deeply convicted by your sin, and therefore you confess your sin, knowing that He's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and then purify us from all unrighteousness. Of course, the Bible makes clear if we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, a pretty serious word by John, and His word has no place in our hearts. So we're all sinners, and every single day I start my day in my prayer time by confessing my sin. It's not the first thing I do in my prayer, but during my prayer time, I spend time confessing my sin. And sometimes I even, in my prayer time, quote Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin," and so forth. And the reason I do this is because I realize every single day I sin in thought, word, and deed. And the closer you get to understanding the holiness of God, the more you see your own sinfulness. I think that's why Paul could say that he is the chief of sinners. He had attained a level of relationship with the Lord that the brightness of the sun exposed the flaws and the sins in his life. And I think that's what happens. The more we get to know how holy God is, the more we see how unrighteous we are. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Matthew in St. Peter's, Missouri. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I've been studying Revelation, and the difference between spiritual Israel and the nation of Israel kind of comes up, you know, with today's events and things like that. I've heard you talk about it before, but I wanted you to maybe elaborate a little bit more on that. It was kind of confusing to me, and it kind of seems like we should be, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we're really Israel. I mean, we're grafted in. I mean, it's not really a land or nationality that has anything to do with it, but I wanted your take on that.
Well, I don't know that I can say it much better than you just said it, because first of all, you rightly point to Paul's illustration of a cultivated olive tree, at least allude to it. The tree symbolizes Israel. Its branches symbolize those who believe, and its root symbolizes Jesus, the root and the offspring of David. Natural branches broken off represent Jews who reject Jesus, and in the illustration, wild branches grafted in represent Gentiles who receive Jesus, and thus Paul can say in Romans, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Jesus is that one genuine seed of Abraham, and all who are clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross. And you're also right to say that this is not a matter of race, it's not a matter of genealogy, but it's a matter of relationship to our resurrected Redeemer. So what we have in Scripture is a very clear indication of a spiritual seed, and the promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed, that spiritual seed being the royal seed, Jesus Christ. Not seeds, plural, but seed singular, meaning one person, again, Jesus Christ. But the double entendre is when you read through Galatians chapter 3, Paul then explains, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and then you are an heir according to the promise. So, in essence, the faithful remnant of Old Testament Israel and New Testament Christianity are together the one genuine seed of Abraham and thus heirs according to the promise. I've written about this in various places, including my book, The Apocalypse Code, where I go in a lot of detail on this. That book available. You can find it on the web at equip.org. You can also talk to one of our resource consultants or just hang on. The number to talk to the resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, remember, this is a ministry that is supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we can't do what we do. So we appreciate those who support this ministry on an ongoing basis. Whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory. Be right back.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one, because Truth Matters Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential historic truths of the Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence and purpose, union with God in Christ. Prepare to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. The Bible Answer Man will return right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In The Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? If so, prepare to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life in Hank's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Carol. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, it's out of great respect that I ask your opinion of homes being blessed and the people within being blessed in order to keep away evil spirits or actual demons.
You know, there's a long tradition in church history of blessing the place that you live or your home. And so there's a legitimate way in which a pastor or a priest can come to your home and bless that home. In other words, pray over that home with you diligently, that that home would be a place that radiates the love and the light of Christ. But there's also a prostitution of that tradition, and unfortunately we see that so often where you have pastors that really don't know what they're talking about going to a house and then, you know, binding demons in the house and thinking that demons attach themselves to particular physical objects. So they see a picture, oh, could be a demon associated with that, might be the cause of your problem, and then you have a picture-burning ceremony in your front lawn. All of that is superstition. Demons are non-physical, and they don't attach themselves to objects. They do, as it were, sit on your shoulder. I'm speaking metaphorically. They whisper into your ear. Of course, they don't have vocal cords, so they can't really whisper. But what they are doing is there's a mind-to-mind kind of communication that takes place whereby you're tempted in a real way. And that's why we are told in Scripture to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against principalities and powers of darkness. But we don't do it through superstition or practices that are more pagan than Christian, but rather we do it by putting on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you can take your stand.
Yes. Actually, I had a prologue to my question. Our family has been through probably an 8-year series of what some would call bad luck. And I don't believe in luck. We believe in blessings. And when things go wrong, we feel that it's part of life.
Well, it's not only part of life, Carol, but also remember that God uses everything, which is that the Bible says all things work together.
For good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, to those who are the called of God, right? For his chosen people, for spiritual Israel, as it were, God can take even the years that the locusts have eaten and use it for his good and for his glory. So you look back in the past and you see things that have happened in the past, and now you see, wow, God is using that today because he's instructed me and taught something. Now I can bless someone else. So God uses all things for good to those who are his called and chosen people.
Exactly. We had this done by a minister that we don't know, but that was a good friend of ours that are very strong believers. And this minister came to our home and blessed our home. And his wife said that she sensed certain demons in certain parts of the house. Is that something that would be legitimate?
No, it's not legitimate, and that's the whole point. I mean, you're not going to go to a doctor that's been sued 15 times for malpractice. You're not going to go to a pastor that doesn't know the basics of spiritual warfare. To do so would be foolish. And
exactly.
What's happened is there's this fascination with demons in the culture, and that's led to a robust deliverance movement, even within evangelicalism. And the way this works is maybe best described as a scheme, because whatever the problem, let's say the person is suffering from depression or anxiety or substance addiction. Well, then the minister says, well, guess what? This is a demon at work in your family, and I have expertise in dealing with it, so I'm going to take care of the problem. And not only that, but you're not personally responsible for this. Indwelling demons are at fault, and getting rid of these demons is the key to your moral and psychological redemption. So they have a deliverance session. It's kind of like, wow, I have the demon of lust and I get it kicked out of me. And then I say, whoa, this wasn't me. After all, it was the demon that did it. So you're not personally held morally culpable. And when you're not personally held morally culpable, it leads to all kinds of problems, including you don't take responsibility, and on top of that, you've never really dealt with the real problem, so it's reoccurring. So this is smoke and mirrors, and unfortunately, it is a trade being plied by evangelical pastors that are sensationalists and sophists. I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. And what I say in that book, in essence, is that if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are a guaranteed casualty. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Libby. She's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Libby.
Hello, Hank, and I'm asking your opinion because I listen to you often and I appreciate your biblical wisdom. But I am a member of an ELCA Lutheran church, and we, as you know, as a national body, allowed homosexual clergy, and the ELCA national body and the Senate in North Carolina are pushing same-sex marriage within the local congregations, the churches, and asking people to have a discussion and then move forward to allow their pastors to perform such same-sex marriages. And I'm very distressed about this because I think it is not biblical. It is moving away from the Bible. It gets far away from God creating them male and female and Jesus corroborating that in Matthew 19 and Mark 10. And just generally the homosexual aspect of it's always negative in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New. And I'm very distressed about this, and I wanted to hear your response about what is happening and how you feel about this.
Well, first of all, I mean, the moniker same-sex marriage is kind of like talking about flaming snowflakes. It's an oxymoron. And this is not something that we have to understand simply through special revelation. We can understand this through general revelation as well. The fact is that same-sex marriage violates natural law, the universal, morally binding law accessible to all people at all times through conscience and through reason, even apart from Scripture. And that's what natural law is. And marriage has an objective, it has an immutable nature. It isn't subject to change because some people in the 21st century think, wow, historical precedents no longer apply. Natural law has no significance.
What's happening now?
Right. And what marriage is the unique, permanent, comprehensive union of two people, one man, one woman, the natural end of which involves bearing and rearing children. So if you look at just the basics, the biological basis is to bring a child into the world to propagate civilization. Always takes one man, always takes one woman, always, always, always. That's a matter of natural law as well. It's a matter of biology. But the other thing
I believe
is
that, but and I believe the biblical view of one man and one woman marriage, but this is being pushed on the Lutheran Church now by the ELCA powers.
Right, but because they are now sawing off the limb on which you're sitting doesn't mean that you have to remain sitting on that limb. And I would not want to be involved in a church body like that for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's a violation of natural law. Number two, all the sociological metrics point to the value of gender-differentiated parenting. And if you're supporting a church like this, what you're doing is supporting something that hurts the most vulnerable among us. So I simply wouldn't want to be someone that continues in that kind of a fellowship, because you have one of two things. You can either try to change it from within, which good luck, or right. You can go to a healthy, well-balanced church.
You're exactly right. Well, I do so appreciate your help in this matter, and I thank you for your biblical interpretation and being true to the scripture.
Well, bless you. Appreciate your call, Libby. I mean, we're living in perilous times. The iron boot of the LGBT community is fairly lethal. I mean, they crush anyone that doesn't accept their standard of what marriage is and what it isn't. And believe me, we have just seen the tip of the iceberg. I mean, it's not stopping at same-sex marriage. As we close the broadcast, remember, we need people just like you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I can't do what I do. The Institute can't do what it does without your prayer and without your support. Given a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. We do need your support. It would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Out of here for today. Look forward to answering your questions next time with more of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation of your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.